Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan Podcast. And today we're here with Stephen Scoggins, and I'm so excited to have Stephen here today because he's one of the guys that I've been waiting to have onto our show because he's a multiple times multimillionaire, which for most people, you know, getting that first $1 million is a big deal, but then the real successful people are the ones who can do it again. And so Stephen's done that multiple times with his company, and he's really here to help people go from stuck to unstoppable, which I loved that, really, that tagline. And so I was excited to have him in to come talk about that. You know, I could go on for days about who Stephen is, but this guy's been featured all over the place in Forbes and a lot of these big magazines. I mean, he's been featured pretty much everywhere that that you can consume information. So Stephen, say what's up to everybody and let's hop in.
Guys, what is going on? Dude, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm excited to have you here. So Stephen, let's just skip past all the nitty gritty and everything. And I want to ask you one question to just lead this all off. So if you had to start a new business, you know, having started multiple yourself, and you only had 90 days to build a livable income for your family, what type of business would you build and how would you build it in 90 days?
Better market awareness would be step one, understanding the market, assessing my gifts and talents that I uniquely have, and also assessing the needs in the marketplace to determine what that product service should be for the marketplace. So in my respect, you know, one of the things I'm really gifted at is teaching leaders how to become better leaders and teaching people how to create companies literally from scratch. As you know, my first one, I started homeless, and that became a close to a nine-figure business by itself across three states, employing, you know, several hundred team members. There's a lot of backstory that we don't have time for today, but we can totally dig into that some other time. You know, so at the end of the day, you look at your strengths, you look at what the market needs, and then you kind of look at the overall market predictions to kind of, not market predictions, but market assessment, because you have to understand the competitive playing field. You need to understand what value proposition you bring. And so many of us don't do that. Some of us will take the time to just think we're really good at something. You know, maybe we're a really good tactician at something. Maybe in some respects, maybe we're just a really good marketer. But like people on my team, I've got great marketers on my team who are fantastic people, and they know how to help people understand that they need our products and services, but they're not really great about leading people. And when you go to create a business, you are going to have to learn how to lead people, whether you like it or not. Otherwise, you are going to find yourself isolated and alone and stagnant, and it'll totally limiting your overall earning income potential. So I think if I was going to start a business today, step one would be assessing what I really have given to me in a gift form right now, right? Which right now for me is going to be thought leadership space. Okay. Which also means probably my quickest way is probably a simple WordPress website that I can put together myself, either through Squarespace or any of the various like quick website builders, right? I'm going to have a brief online store, maybe using a Stripe, maybe using a ClickFunnels, maybe using something like that. Something inexpensive. ClickFunnels is not super cheap, but you know, maybe using something inexpensive to get a basic funnel. And then I'm going to start creating content. Now, one of the things that I was kind of really surprised to do is, you know, I'm in a position in life now where we have a nice live event center. We've got a nice podcast studio. We've got lots of cool areas to film video. You'd be surprised to know that the most successful videos have actually been shot with an iPhone, right?
I believe
so many times when we're trying to bootstrap something, we want to have it all figured out. We want to go and leverage ourselves up. We want to go put our houses on, I don't know, mortgage our house, you know, like leverage ourselves up because we think we need all the stuff that maybe a Ramsey or a Maxwell or Robbins or JLD or any of these thought leadership folks need, because, you know, but you got to keep in mind, they've been doing this for 20 plus years in many respects. They've saved, they've earned, they've created revenue over and over again. You know, the trick is starting small and being okay with starting small. I find that most bootstrap entrepreneurs, most marketers are so heavily leveraged based on the content that they're consuming on a regular basis, which a lot of times is by highly successful marketers, right? Marketers study marketers more than they do anything else. Marketers don't often study business organization. Marketers don't often study leadership, team culture, right? If you're going to be crazy successful and build a marketing agency that can stand the test of time, it's not just about pushing a product or service. It's about building the best you can build, so you can build the best team you can build, so they can build the best business you can build.
See, and I love that. I love that you cover that, because really the one of the big problems when people are stuck at the $1 million point, or even let's just say at a six-figure point, a lot of people plateau at those because they got there off of sheer saleability, right? They're good marketers, but then they get stuck because they haven't taken that time to assess their business model, build a team, and like you said, create a thought leadership business. So I want to delve a little bit deeper into your methodology with that, because the type of business that you build around thought leadership, I mean, there's tons of different things you could sell with that. What would be the product that you would sell? Because obviously you've built a content engine. What are you selling through there?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, in that I don't typically start with products. I guess technically it's a product, but it would be considered, you know, top of your funnel, your free content, right? Like a buddy of mine, Evan Carmichael, likes to say, always test the free stuff first, right? Not just for marketing in your own funnel, but also like when you engage with your audience, you know, give as much value and impact as you possibly can. Now, that's no secret. Everybody's been talking about that for a decade now. Like give more value than you're asking to be paid for, right? In my particular seat, revenue and monetization paths and making, you know, incredibly successful funnels and stuff is not at the heart of what I'm trying to accomplish. What I'm trying to accomplish is I'm trying to inspire that person to take another step, right? And the reason I say that is because I've determined and discovered a long time ago that life and business mastery as a whole really follows a hierarchy of seven major steps, right? And there's an old, as a person of faith, there's an old Bible adage that says, new levels, new devils, right? So every time you go up a level, you got to face a new challenge. Every time you go up a level, you face a new challenge, and so on and so forth. So picture that staircase in your mind, all right? So coming from the homeless background, coming from the bootstrapping businesses, that's the only way I know to do it, right? Is no money, little resources, and solely being totally resourceful, which everybody's heard that term before, right? That's all I know. I know about gritty fire stomping. That's what I know about, right? Well, when I went back and looked at, okay, what actually happened? What steps did I actually follow in order to get to where I am today? You know, we have the tagline you mentioned earlier that I get a lot of heat for, because some people like get it and they understand it. Other people are like, dude, that's so cliche. Come on, man. Like, really? Like, from stuck to unstoppable. It sounds so auspicious. Okay, wonderful. You know, whatever. Here's what I discovered. Being stuck is nothing more than not making progress. Okay. Definition of being stuck, right? Definition for being unstoppable. Consistently making progress. It's all about the journey, not the destination, right? So the seven steps that I'm going to lynch into you, I call them seven levels of life mastery. It can be used for life and business all day long. It's also a very similar journey that a customer wants to experience when they engage with you, which is why I think it'll help your marketers. And that is, first of all, there's the awakening, right? There's the awareness, if you will, the awakening that you need something different, right? For some people, it's because they're flat out broke. They're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. They're like I was, or tired of living in roach infested, having their lights and their telephone shut off and dealing with all that kind of stuff. For some, it's that I hate my boss. Like, I'm so sick of working for this dude. He's a jerk. He never treats me right. For some, it's going to be completely different. But the reality is we all face what we refer to as an awakening moment. And the awakening is nothing more than realizing that I want something more and that I want to do something about it, right? A lot of us say we want a new life. A lot of us say we want new products. A lot of us say we want new services, and we want to build a business, and we want to create a marketing agency, and we want to do videos, and we want to do websites. We want to do optimizations, and we're looking at optimized press and click funnels and all these parts and pieces. But to some of us, and I've experienced a lot with marketers that I have working for me, there's this element of all thought, no action. Like all the new tactics, I'm constantly studying new tactics, right? I'm like, stop studying the tactics and just do something, right? Just, I don't care. Free ebook, try it, right? Let's see what happens. You know, that kind of stuff, like to get going. So you have this awakening phase. Well, then you have this awareness phase, if you will. So level two would kind of be awareness. It's like understanding that you are who you are, but more importantly, you are where you are today because that's all you've allowed yourself to be. Right? John Maxwell used to say a long time ago that the organization is limited by their leader, right? The scalability of your business will always be limited by your ability to scale yourself. The biggest mistake I made, bar none, in all of my businesses, all the way across the board, is trying to build a business without building myself. And when I say that, I mean the intangibles. I mean what emotionally makes you make a decision. Because when you understand you better, you also understand your customer or your avatar better, right? You can really get into that avatar matrix and really understand what keeps them up at night, right? What makes them actually crave something new. Your terminology and the copywriting that you have, you pivot in such a way that begins to use words that they're using in their own head, right? Because you've developed something called empathy. And empathy gives you insight. And as you create more empathy, you gain more insight. All of a sudden, you have more copywriting capabilities. Well, you only get there through awareness. Okay. So we have the awakening, we have the awareness. The third thing that I always do, level three, is always the entrance of the mentor. Okay. The guide, the mentor, the teacher, the coach, the person who's going to call you on your crap and also help you see things that you can't see yourself. Like my mentors always have three things in common. They have high levels of character, they've got high levels of integrity, and they've been where I'm trying to go and succeeded. And if they don't have each one of those three things, I don't consider them a mentor and I keep searching. Now, I have another piece of content that we used to talk about called the mentorship matrix. So there's four different areas that you can get a mentor in. A peer-to-peer mentor, okay? A historical mentor, which is any mentor that you can get from a book, a CD, or something like that. A digital mentor, which is all the video content, podcast content like this show that you can consume, right? And the fourth one is the aspirational mentor, the person who is where you want to be. They exhibit the lifestyle that you want to live, okay? So when you begin to look at that third category of mentors, consider those four buckets, because one thing I always get all the time was, I can't find a great mentor, right? There's none around. I don't have access to him. I can't talk to Tony Robbins on a regular basis. No, but you can watch his videos. You can listen to his old CDs and read his books. The same thing with John Maxwell and Dave Ramsey and JLD. I mean, the list goes on. Thought leadership builds future thought leadership, right? There's an old saying that there's no new ideas. There's just new ways of filtering it and processing it, right? How can you use that thing yourself to kind of break things down and shake it loose for yourself? Now, once you actually got your awakening, you've got your awareness, you've got your mentor. Now it comes down to implementation. You've got to implement what you've learned, okay? About 70% of the public will stop at implementation because it's uncomfortable, right? I know everybody's heard this before. You've got to be comfortable with becoming uncomfortable, right? Right. It's the reason it's said so often is because it's what I consider to be a life truth. Okay. So level four is implement. You've got to implement. You've got to put in the work. You can't sit around thinking. You can't sit around trying to build and strategize. You got to, what is the old slogan? Test before you invest, right? You can't test something you haven't created, right? Including yourself, like attributes about yourself. I can't test my new level of thought leadership. I can't test how I'm leading a team unless I start to do it, right? Well, the next level is going to be the maturity phase, okay? Once you hit a level of maturity, you finally have got enough muscle memory where you're starting to have a lot of success in that area, okay? Which then leads you to the next level, which is emergence. Emergence is powerful because all the hard work you put in, so all the awakening, all the awareness, all the mentorship, all the implementation, all the really incredibly hardworking stuff that you've done, right? You've now got that maturity level. You've got some results. Emergence is where you have results without thinking about it, okay? What I like to refer to as the next level of being mastery, right? Most people will begin teaching from a place that is not considered mastery. They'll learn a new technique. They won't have it fully implemented. They won't have practiced it. They won't have seen it grown into maturity, but yet they try to teach it. The stuff that I teach myself personally, I always hold myself accountable, making sure, is this an area? Is this something that I have actually mastered? Because I believe that the way to create a legacy that outlives you, no matter if it's a product, service, or business, is by creating mastery in that specific area and then teaching other people how to do it. In fact, I say it this way. The greatest purpose in life you'll ever have is serving the person you used to be, right? So what does a great marketer do? Well, a great marketer may actually go back and help, just like a lot of the people that you guys study, right? The Russell Brunsons and so on and so forth. Like you go back and study these guys, right? Well, what is their main product now? Selling marketing techniques to marketers. You see what I'm saying?
It's really interesting to see that that's the progression. I feel like for most people, they're like, oh, I learned something immediately. I'm going to start teaching it and be a coach to coaches. Right.
Exactly. And there's some wisdom to be in one or two steps ahead and learning something new. It could be, but you got to position it. Hey, look, this is something I'm not incredibly masterful at, but something I'm implementing. I'm seeing success in. And it's all about how you pivot the conversation. Because by actually following the seven levels of life mastery or business, you can call it business mastery if you want, it's the same stinking levels, right? By actually following this, again, you create empathy. And as you create empathy, you are able to understand your customer better, right? Because I believe that the greatest purpose is serving the person you used to be. Because you have unique insight to how that person thinks and feels and operates, which means you get to be the solution to their problem. And for most people, most purchases are done so emotionally, and if you can solve something that's keeping them up at night, they will have no problem rewarding you with Benjamins.
See, and I absolutely love that. And I hope all of you really took notes on those seven steps, because Stephen was telling me this before the interview. This is the first time he shared that. So you're getting the first look at this, and I hope you all look at that. But I do have a question for you, Stephen, along the lines of that. And I honestly, I'm seeing my story go through that, and I'm like, what level am I actually at right now? But it kind of brought a question to me. Do you feel like it's almost a cycle? Like you kind of have to do this multiple times? Like it's not a one-time thing?
Yeah, it is. Think about it this way. So I come from a construction background. So my first company was I still own it today. It's called Custom Home Exteriors. It is focused heavily on exterior building products. Okay. Now, I will tell you that when I first started putting my thought leadership and started going back into that space, people are like, construction guy, really? Like construction? I'm like, here's something I realized. Construction's not sexy until you need something built, right? We're all sitting in four walls at the moment, or at least most of us are, or we're sitting in a car, right? So anyway, long story short, to answer your question, yes. When you go to build a skyscraper, the size of the skyscraper is directly correlated to the depth of the foundation, okay? Knowing that the foundation is where everything starts at, it's also the bottom of the staircase, okay? Now, if you look at any organization or any empire that's been built, typically the foyer space is typically the first level. That's the reception area, right? The next level is typically going to be your action level. So you're climbing the stairs. You're now kind of going into the accounting offices and the operational managers. But a lot of the VPs, EVPs, and even presidents and CEOs are typically on the top floor. You see what I'm saying? So while it is a cycle, I believe it is a stair step cycle and not necessarily a cylindrical cycle that's kind of repetitive. Does that make sense? Because after you build the first building, you can begin to build the second one.
Yeah, and I love that. I relate well to that. My dad was a contractor, so yeah. I know the construction space. That's why I'm here, because I don't love doing construction, I'll be honest. that's awesome. I love that. So I hope all of you kind of visualize that, right? It's not cylindrical. You're not going clear back to the beginning and starting over. It's a stair step process. So I really love those seven steps. And honestly, I think I'm going to have to look at my business again and say, where am I at? I also want to highlight one point that you said right at the end. The mastery level is where you're serving people who are where you are at. Mm-hmm. And it kind of loops back to your mentor space, right? I do believe that you should, once you've learned something, you should share it with the world, because that's what's going to help a certain group of people to become where you are, get to where you are. But I would hope most of you, as you're building out this business, a lot of you are at that seven-figure plateau. I would hope you look at where you're at and say, am I at the mastery step yet, or do I need to step back and actually hire a mentor? And you're really touching on a really good point with the mentor space, Stephen. I've found in my business, every time I'm stuck, I just go spend money on another mentor. And every time I do that, I immediately move to the next level every single time. Love that.
It's outside perspective. It's outside help. It's outside work. It's, one of the reasons that I always try to say that people should teach from a place of mastery is because when you go to teach and you're not really well grounded or not really deeply rooted in that particular subject matter, there's always a chance that you can actually send somebody off course. And I believe that by doing that, you can actually create more harm than good, which is one of the reasons why I say, hey, look, emergence level, maturity level, mastery level, those are the three areas that I really feel like, if I could just caution your audience to make sure you're operating from when you go to teach something new, because again, you can actually hurt somebody in the process, not meaning to.
Yeah. And honestly, I, I love that you mentioned that because I know for me, the first course I ever bought was actually a Facebook ads course from this guy who was kind of emerging. And I don't want to throw him under the bus because he's a great guy. But honestly, a lot of the tactics he taught didn't work. They were kind of theoretically functional, but they weren't proven. They weren't systematically proven. But what was really interesting is a year after I bought the course, he redid it and basically negated everything that he had said in his first course. And it was kind of frustrating as the marketer because I'm like, now I have to go clear back to the basics because I was doing it completely wrong. So I love that you bring that in. I would also caution people to not take that as you're not a master, right? Because a lot of people are going to have that imposter syndrome. But what you're saying is identify if you can truly show that something works and then teach it to people. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you take that one example, there's nothing wrong. So anybody that's in our pipeline, so we have like everybody else, we have an early adopter phase, especially with our online school. And I have a tendency myself to change, tweak, and amplify specific pieces of content. Anybody that's part of the early adoption phase always gets first looks at the new stuff. And I did that strategically to say, hey, look, I know that people make purchases based on know, like, and value, right? They know me, they trust me, they value my opinion or value my insight. And if I make a change to my own courses, my own curriculums, my own thing, they need to be the first ones to know. And it's not saying that, hey, look, I'm trying to lead you astray. It's like, hey, look, I realize there's a better way. This will 10X whatever we were talking about. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with leaving or kind of starting with your first product, if you will. It doesn't have to be perfect. Again, some of our most successful videos were done on iPhones, right? There's nothing absolutely wrong with that whatsoever. The trick is making sure that it is actually the best and most efficient thing you have at your disposal in the moment. If that makes any sense. Hope that answers the question anyway.
No, that absolutely does answer the question. And I love how you articulated that because it shouldn't stop you from wanting to go out and teach people, but it kind of goes back to your mentor space. And I love that you had the four different type, right? The peer-to-peer, basically a book, digital, or somebody who's where you want to be. And I know for me, like when I first started in the teaching space, the thought leadership space, I'm a young guy, very little credibility. I'm like, I have some marketing experience. So I said, hey, instead of doing, hey, come to me, I know everything about this topic. I said, hey, let's do a mastermind together and I'll just keep bringing you the best stuff with the best people and we'll learn together and we'll pick out the best things. And we made quite a bit of money doing that, but it allowed me to actually learn and master the topic, like you said, and implement. So I love your methodology. I'm like, put that on my wall. Right, for me. Where are you at?
Well, and you should be asking yourself that, you know, at least on a monthly basis, hey, have we moved the needle? You know, because at the end of the day, your needle only gets moved if you focus on it. You know, when I'm working in the life mastery space, helping people break through their own life stuff, right? There's this element of vision board, but it's like, it's clearer than creating a vision board. Like I wrote myself a $10,000 check. No, I'm sorry, a $100,000 check when I was barely in a single wide mobile home trying to make ends meet. Okay. But I did that and I had to look at that joker every single day for solid 6 years before I was able to cash it. Right? There's just something tangible about keeping stuff in front of you. And when you, by that, you actually have the focus. When you have focus, you have intention. When you have intention, you create momentum. When you create momentum, you become unstoppable.
See, and that honestly, I could just end the interview there, but I want to make sure we do you justice on this. So you just kind of teased a little bit about the Transform You. Can you kind of walk us through what that is and what it's for?
Yeah, essentially. So I'm kind of doing what I told you about in the process. About 3.5 years ago, I discovered that most people, especially in the thought leadership space, not most, I'd say a good sized chunk, were doing it for the wrong motives. They wanted to do it because they wanted to be famous. They wanted to be known. They wanted to be seen, all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, when you come from that place, a lot of times you only give people the 30,000 foot view and you kind of make yourself a master of 30,000 foot view. But when they press you, there's really no place for those types of folks to go. And I learned a long time ago that people don't want more gurus. They want guides. They want people that can help them, right? Legitimately. You know, so then we began to survey people who follow some bigger names and things of that nature. Hey, what do you like about so-and-so? Oh, you know, it's a great environment. Love the seminars. You know, they're in depth, they're immersive, they're amazing. Okay. Well, what do you not like about those? Well, what I don't like about those is the fact that when I leave, I don't know what to do. Like I spend 3 days at these massive seminars with people from all over the world and I can't break things down. So what I discovered was, is people needed a process to break things down, right? Most of us silo ourselves in such a way that we come from our past bleeds into our present. And if we're not careful, it becomes our future. And then somewhere in the future, the 35-year-old, the 45-year-old, the 55-year-old self goes, oh crap, I don't know where my life's going. I don't know who I am. I don't know what to do. And I really discovered that purpose comes from answering three specific questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what do I do about it? So what I did was I took the time to dedicate all of my energy into looking over my life, going back to that serve the person you used to be, looking for what actually worked, taking the time to break things down to a granular level, and then packaging it in such a way that it forces someone to go step by step by step by step. The eager beavers in us, the overachievers like myself, right? We like to buy the digital course, watch video one, skip the video 25, maybe video 50, and we're like, okay, we did it. Or like some of my guys that I've caught them doing, listening to podcasts and videos at like 6 times the speed. Episode, you actually digested that? Yeah. Okay, well, what does this section say? I don't know. Okay, which means you didn't become competent in it, right? So I began to create something called Transform You. And we have a live event called Transform You Live that obviously COVID disrupted last year. It's okay. I intentionally in that event have two to 250 people. That's all I allow because I want to have one-on-one interactions with everybody, right? So we have a seminar that we teach them the theology and the philosophical nature, the principle, if you will. And then they immediately go into immersive sessions to break things down and actually apply it directly to their life specifically. Well, COVID obviously threw us for a loop. Well, it just so happened that we had already been developing a custom developed online school called Transform You Online. And because I want our products and services to be attainable to everybody, like I'm not asking people to spend $6,000 to come to a seminar and pay for their airfare and pay for their hotel, because the person that I used to be did not have that kind of money, right? The person that I used to be maybe could scrounge up $100 in a month's time frame to actually do something to work on me. In fact, that's what I did. So the entire Transform You process basically breaks apart our Grow framework. Okay. Now imagine a computer, call it a Windows, call it a Mac, whatever you use, right? There's a file folder structure inside of that computer, right? You have a file and it says life. And then you click on that file and inside of that file, you have 30 files. And then in each one of those files, you have like another 20. Well, essentially the Grow framework, and I'm just to share it with you really, really fast, is gain perspective, remove roadblocks, organize a plan, and work the freaking plan, right? Nothing happens until you work it. But until you gain perspective of where you need to go, why you need to go there, what's important, what motivates you, so on and so forth, you can't actually work a plan, which is why people are like, I've tried everything in the world and I'm not getting traction, right? That's why that doesn't work. You're skipping the steps, right? So you can't skip ahead. So Transform You Online became our main tool in which in the last year or so specifically, we've used to help people go step by step through mastering their life. The reason I started with life mastery space rather than entrepreneur space specifically, even though I get a lot of requests for entrepreneur style content, is because everything that comes out of your life bleeds into your career. It bleeds into your relationships. It bleeds into your family. It bleeds into your spiritual nature, no matter what that is for you, whether it's, you know, resilience and meditation, things of that nature. It bleeds into your emotional well-being, your sense of significance, your mental health, so on and so forth, which is why we broke it down. So that's what Transform You Online is. And then we'll be launching Transform You Immersion in the near future, which is a one-on-one with me, which is, unfortunately, that's a higher price point just because I have so much limited time. 6 companies keeps me very busy.
And I don't think people realize that sometimes. It's like, can I pick your brain? And you're like, dude, literally, I would. I literally don't have time. I'd be happy to help you, but I can't. So come into Transform You, right? So I'm going to just do a hard pitch for you on it for everybody. I honestly think every single person on this show should go check that out because you're coming to me saying, hey, I'm stuck, right? And the show is all built around helping you to get unstuck, but he literally has an entire program built around helping you get from stuck to unstoppable. So go check that out. So what's the link for that? They can gain access to that, Stephen.
Yeah. So the easiest way is to actually go to journeyprinciples.com. And then actually go ahead and just for safety's sake, because I don't want people to jump in not knowing what kind of thought leadership I teach. Hopefully they got a little taste of some of the things that I've experienced and wisdom that I've managed to gain over the last couple of years. But go ahead and download any one of the three ebooks. We got Five Principles for a Personal Breakthrough. We got Understanding What Drives and Motivates You, which comes with a $97 free personality assessment, disc, values, and attributes, which nobody else does for free. Wow. Right. And then Seven Relationships You Must Have to Win at Life. Start there. If you like that, then obviously just continue to stay opted in, and then you'll have an opportunity to join Transform You Online.
I love that. So make sure you go check that out, everybody. I know for a lot of you, it's you want to go consume the information, but I would even challenge you to say, just like he said, go in, consume some information, build a plan, and then implement. Spend the time implementing, and you'll see big success from that. So, Stephen, before we sign off, I have one final question for you. So, you know, we've covered a lot of different topics, but if you could leave one final parting piece of guidance for our audience, especially if it was like the one thing that you could leave with them, what would that be?
The final thing is, I think everybody should be seeking one thing in with their life: creating a legacy that outlives them. And the reason I say that is I'm sitting here today, a man who was homeless, suicidal, because someone else chose to believe in me when I didn't believe in myself. His name was Steve Myrick, my very first mentor. He never got to see six businesses. He never got to see me sharing the world stage. He never got to see me on social media and creating videos and podcasts. He never got to see any of that. Instead, everyone who comes in contact with me hears the name Steve Myrick, because he created a legacy that outlived him through me. And my goal is to do that at scale. So ask yourself, with your professional career, with your relationships, with your gifts, with your talents, what legacy can I leave behind me that can outlive me? And until you have the answer to that question, don't stop looking.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.